It's 3:31. I'm Jim Steele. You're listening to Afternoon Jazz at 90.5 FM, WSNC, Winston-Salem. Jazz in all its colors from the campus of Winston-Salem State University. I'm Jim Steele. Great to be with you this afternoon under sunny skies and nice and warm out there, about 74 degrees. Perfect afternoon for gardening. And in the studio with us this afternoon is Samantha Fox, who I lovingly called the glamorous farmer. Welcome, Samantha.
Thank you, Jim, for having me today. I am so excited to be here, and it is definitely a perfect day for gardening and being outside and definitely getting that vitamin D.
Well, I was telling our listeners before we went on this afternoon to talk is that I saw you a couple of years ago, I guess it was now, at a farmer's market, and you were with a mutual friend of ours, Mary Hagelin. And I said, who is that with Mary? Because, I mean, you were so glamorous. And you were at the farmer's market, so I figured you're shopping like everybody else and, you know, getting your fruits and vegetables. And then she says, no, she's a farmer. And you have a farm.
Yes.
Called Mother's Finest.
Yes, Mother's Finest Family Farm. I'm also a beekeeper, so it is definitely a busy day each day. We have chickens. We have a lot of responsibilities. We're in the fall season right now, so yes, I am a glamorous farmer, and I do take the crown off and get out there and get dirty, believe it or not.
Well, we're going to get some tips from you in a minute, but first of all, I want to find out how you became a farmer, because you are a makeup artist, cosmetologist, I guess, all of that by trade. Well, not trade anymore, by vocation, let's say that. But your avocation, now your vocation, is farming. So how did you go from cosmetology, makeup, to farming?
I can say it was quite a jump. You know, I actually, the day that I was going to take the farming class, where I got a letter, and I was accepted into a program over at the Cooperative Extension. They have an urban farming program. And I remember receiving the letter in the mail, and I was excited. I'm like, I'm really excited to go out. I love actually being in the dirt and really grounding myself in that type of thing. But I can say at first the farming idea was a bit far-fetched with my lifestyle. So I made a video, and I had my, you know, my lipstick is popping, my edges are popping, and I was like, I don't know how this is going to go, but I'm going to try it, you know. And it was one of the best decisions that I have ever made in terms of really just connecting to something that was needed in my life. So it really became more of like a self-journey, and then the self-journey is expanding into sharing with others, my community, my family. But I needed to be back with the earth. I really needed to be at one with touching the soil, nature, just some lessons that I think I personally needed in my life. And I've been able to just share that. I'm a student of nature. I always say nature is the best teacher. So I'm a student of nature, and I'm sharing my experience with everybody.
You said you took a course in urban farming. So this wasn't a case of you growing up on a farm and then deciding you're going back to your roots.
Well, I did grow up part of my life in the eastern part of North Carolina. Okay. So I did see farming. I did have farmers in my family. So it wasn't just extremely far-fetched where I just had zero experience. At that time, I was a bit young to go out into some of the fields, but my brother would go out tobacco farming and that type of thing. And I do remember that it was some manual labor, and they were always tired and working really hard early morning. So I did have experience in that. And also I had aunts that started community gardens, and you know, women that were in my neighborhood that I would go out into their gardens, and they would teach me about planting seeds and how to harvest and that type of thing. So really for me, I guess I would say it's more of a reconnection. And like I said, I was a little bit younger to actually have the experience of going out in the fields. But I would go out with my grandmother, and we would pick collard greens, and she cooked everything fresh. So that was something that was in our family, you know. I guess, you know, I grew up around that experience of having fresh food and things that were, you know, straight out of the ground.
For the listeners who heard us talk about you going and learning about urban farming, let's talk about that, because we've talked with other folks about learning where food comes from, because mm-hmm. some people don't know where their food comes mm-hmm. from. They think it comes from, you know, Harris Teeter and out of a can. but your food comes out of the earth. And let's talk about urban farming in particular. What are you learning in an urban farming educational environment that's different from something you may have learned down east?
You know what? I just really love the culture. You know, I think urban farming is a lot different. I really love to incorporate stuff like rap music, and it just really like becomes like, you know, full of that rich culture of just really urbanized life, and something that I just remembered like in the 90s growing up, the music, and, you know, all of that can be, for me, incorporated as a way to teach other people about farming, urban farming, and to make it interesting. So I think that is really something that's on the rise for younger people, and younger people have an opportunity to really expand their space where they're growing, and it's not more of a traditional style farming. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. So it's really just kind of put a lot of life into it and made it something more and something colorful and something beautiful, opposed to we think of just like traditional farming. You know, it's more of the tractors and the hard work, which is still hard work. But like I said, with the younger generation now, we're able to kind of display it in a different way.
We've seen in stories about you, features in the newspaper and other places, that your family is surrounding you in this effort as well.
Right. So my family is right by my side. I definitely could not do it without a support system. It is so important with everything that I'm doing. I do have a very busy schedule in terms of trying to take care of everything on the farm and strategize, you know, what needs to be done daily, and also, you know, do things like this and some of the media that I've had the opportunity to have the exposure to just recently. But definitely my family is a key to all of this, and I'm hoping that the jewels that I'm sharing with them now, my kids can take that along with them and create generational wealth in our family. So that's my goal.
So when you started out, what did you have in mind that you was going to be your area of specialty? Just keeping stuff alive or what?
I really think that because I had more of a playful approach to it, that I really didn't come in and like, you know, like I'm a master at any of this. So I was such a student that I absorbed everything. Like I started just taking class after class. I went right into beekeeping. I took that class. Got my certification there. I went and became a master gardener. So I really just poured myself with information, and I became like a sponge. And that approach really paid off because I had time to really think about what was important for me to do and where I could find an area that I fit in at. And, you know, I'm so glad that I took the time out to educate myself. And I went through that for probably over a year, close to 2 years, and a lot with self-education. I was reading, understanding before I even got out into the bee yard. But that time just helped me to evolve into the fabulous farmer. Like, it was perfect for me to have all of that experience. And, you know, it's like here we are now, and everything has completely changed since I got into this. And it's becoming a career and something that's inspiring people. And I love the responsibility of that. And I really want other people to be encouraged by what we're doing as a family and also what I'm doing as an individual and a mother.
Samantha Fox, urban farmer. The farm is Mother's Finest, appropriately titled. And you grow vegetables and you grow, I guess, fruits as well.
We don't have too many fruits. We do more of vegetables, some flowers, sometimes mushrooms. Fresh eggs, of course, local honey. So we do have a big variety, and we do some finished products like the elderberry syrup, fire tonic, the Jamaican Scotch bonnet honey. We do salves and creams. So we really have, you know, inside health and outside health as well. So what goes in according to like the food and also the products, we try to make as natural as possible.
So you have the chickens and you've got bees. People are afraid as soon as you say bees, and they think that's dangerous. Some of us know a little bit better because I took a course in beekeeping, haven't, you know, established anything yet. But it took a lot of fear out of it. So, but for someone to just say, I'm going to take a course in beekeeping, that must have taken a little bit of nerve.
It really did. I mean, you know, I tend to be very adventurous with my goals, and you can tell because I absolutely had no idea what I was doing. I'm like, I just want to challenge myself and really push myself to the limit, and it really was what that was all about. It was more so like I'm just out of my ballpark, just totally, and I needed to challenge myself and be able to step out there and prove to myself that I could do it. And I found something that I love along the way of doing it. So it was really just a self-challenge. I'm like, I don't really see anybody here who looks like me, number one. And I'm like, I've got to change that. And sometimes I just get these personal, you know, vendettas in my head, and I just run with them, and they make me get so goal-driven, and I really just lights a torch. And once that fire gets started, then stuff like this happens to where we are now. You know, it just kind of takes a blaze across. It's really taking a blaze across the world at this point.
The chickens, the vegetables, the bees, the honey, and so that you've added potions as well for your health and well-being. So how did you take that step to start using your products into tonics and things that are good for you?
You know what? I really have to thank my grandmother. You know, I grew up in a household where I did see my grandmother plenty of times. She gave me home remedies, and she would go out and get pine top tea. And a couple times I would get sick, you know, she would just come up with this magic is what I called it. And, you know, I would get better. So, you know, growing up around that type of thing, you know, I really can say that it was just almost just a natural thing for me. It's like encoded inside of my DNA to know how to do those things and to go out and just like roam the land and find all the beautiful things and all the healthy things. So it's really, like I said, honestly, a second nature type of thing, which is just truly a blessing. So, I mean, I'm just truly thankful that I do have that gift and I'm able to put that right formula together to be able to really help somebody through hard times. We've even been, you know, serving our community here through the virus, and it's been tough, you know, going out there and having that type of responsibility and showing up. But I just, you know, really want to see our community stay in good health.
Home remedies are almost a lost art. So for to have somebody as young as you are remembering those home remedies and sharing them and keeping them alive, that's pretty special.
It really is. And like you said, it is becoming a lost art. And I really wanted to make sure that we, for one, had appreciation for the fact that, you know, homemakers who handmade products are very important. So it's really just saying really appreciate those type of things and don't let that don't let their art get lost, you know, and everything becomes so fast paced. And that's the love. That handmade is the love. Mm-hmm.
Samantha Fox, urban farmer. Mother's Finest is the farm. I lovingly call her the glamorous farmer because of the look and your history. So you bring all that together to come up with this marvelous persona. But what you're doing is comforting because everybody's got to eat, and that's healing in itself, nutrition.
Yes, you hit it right on the head. It's like you said, it's very comforting, especially now to have that whole spirit of the mother around you and really just kind of give you that great big hug and wrap her arms around the world right now, because it's just everybody is going through things day to day. Everything has changed. So, you know, growing up, you always remember, you know, it's kind of like that song, Grandma's Hands, and just embodying that type of feel with our products. And that's what we want to do. We want people to feel loved and nurtured and, you know, really taken care of with all that we're doing. Also, we want to express how important it is to take care of the land and the animals and the bees, and to take time to invest back into that soil.
Gil Scott-Heron, you just mentioned Grandma's Hands. That's a tune we play a lot around here and love that. We're talking with Samantha Fox, who is an urban farmer. Her farm is a Mother's Finest. And we've been talking about the things that you grow and the things that you help produce. And for those folks who are out there who are urban farmers, and farming has taken on around here. A lot of people have farms in their yards, and they're not as big at it as you are. But for folks who are getting their farms, their gardens ready for the fall and the winter, what suggestions do you have for them right now to prepare?
To prepare, number one, I like to suggest to people to grow what they eat. So anything that, you know, that you're eating right now that you can kind of knock off the grocery list, I think that's just a great way to start. You know, it might be a herb that you like. I like to do the more expensive things, like the specialty things that I necessarily, the cheap person inside of me doesn't want to pay for in a grocery store.
Thrifty.
We'll call it thrifty. being economical. So, you know, like some of those purple sweet potatoes and arugulas, those type of things. So start with growing what you eat so you can, of course, save money. Also, it might be a way that you can share with the neighbor, which I think is a beautiful thing. Secondly, do it as a family. So make sure you incorporate jobs that everybody can do as a family. Somebody might be good at planting. And then take it a step further and think about what you want to plan as meals together. Let everybody choose. You might have a salad box with a seed from everybody in the family. So one person might like tomatoes, cucumbers, and then you have a box that's just your salad box. So get creative, have fun, and don't stress about it. Farming is definitely supposed to be a fun thing. Don't take it too serious. The weather could come out and knock you out at any day, and that happens. But the biggest thing is trying.
For those who have been reading about you, a young woman, a young Black woman who has gone back to her roots and who is a successful farmer and beekeeper, and you're raising chickens and you're making tonics and things with home remedies. You must be inspirational to a lot of women around the country who have read about you and say, you know what, I think I can do that too.
Yes, it has definitely, number one, been an inspiration to people all across the globe. I mean, people from Italy and Paris and Connecticut and, I mean, just everywhere. It's almost a bit overwhelming sometimes because it was just like a light switch and it just kind of went on. And people contact me all the time, you know, and I'm just absorbing it all in. You know, people will say, I love you. I want you to be my friend. I'm motivated by you. And I'm just so proud to represent, you know, Black women. And that's why I do it in such a fabulous way, is because I have all my sisters with me in my heart each and every time I show up. And, you know, we have this opportunity to be in the media. It's not me. It's us when I go out there and do that. So, you know, just have a heart to share that. Any story you can get your hands on, hit that share button and let people know that, you know, we are out here and we are definitely being mother's finest.
Being the frugal person that you are, and you raise lots of food, you're a cook too, because I've seen some things you posted. Girl, some oxtails you had posted on Facebook. And I love oxtails. Nobody in my family eats them except me.
Oh, goodness.
And I absolutely adore them.
They are delicious. And my grandmother was the cook. Like I said, my grandmother had 9 kids and like everybody loved her food. So I guess growing up around her, being able to see those recipes in the kitchen and everything about family was always surrounded around food when we got together. And she made it so special. Like, I mean, every single time I saw her doing it, she made it special. And that's something that I just want to share with my family and my kids. So right now I just do it for family, because I'm scared if I make it into a job, then I would probably stop doing it.
Exactly. You're doing it with love now. And congratulations on your success. I wish you continued success. And one last thing. What are you preparing for right now? What are you growing that is really near and dear to you that you're excited about harvesting this fall?
Well, the collard greens are near and dear to me. Okay, those are so special. Like I said, I remember going out into the field with my grandmother. She passed away last year. I'm at 84. And I did get a chance to see her the previous Thanksgiving, and she made some greens. And I just remember that time. So each year now when I harvest my collard greens, it's just so special to me. I mean, I could just feel her just wrapping her arms around me in that kitchen and saying, "You do your thing, baby."
Samantha Fox, the urban farmer, mother's finest, and we lovingly call her the glamorous farmer. Stay glamorous. Keep cooking. Keep growing stuff. Because we got to eat, baby.
Yes, we do.
You're listening to Afternoon Jazz at 90.5 FM, WSNC Winston-Salem, jazz in all its colors from the campus of Winston-Salem State University.